Today we are going to study about the death, how the death came into this world, and how God is going to give us victory over the death. God created everything for mankind, and the Word of God says when God created everything, God says everything was good. And then He made the mankind and gave everything under the man's control. The Word of God says the devil came to deceive mankind, and Eve was deceived, and then Eve gave that forbidden fruit to Adam, and both of them, they ate the fruit. What God said to mankind: the day you will eat this forbidden fruit, you will surely die. Now, I don't know they understood what the death means, but the death means simply is a separation. Now, separation from God is the spiritual death. I believe Adam and his wife understood that the day we will eat that fruit, we will have separation from God. That means we will not have any communication with God. When the devil comes and deceives them, they disobey God. Devil said, the day you will eat this fruit, you will be just like God. But the devil lied. And the Word of God says devil is a liar, he is a murderer, he is a killer, and he says lie from his own heart. We can read that in a book of St. John chapter 8 verse 44. So here we see the devil deceived the mankind, and the Word of God says death came into this world. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Okay, now this was the commandment, but they disobeyed the commandment, and the day they ate the fruit, the man spiritually died. That means there was a separation from God and man. Because of man's fault, we see in the Word of God that God gave them leather jackets. When the leather jacket God gave it to them, that means Adam saw the death of animal because of his sin. And I believe that time he would know that somebody has to die to cover his sin. Then we see another death in their family. Cain killed his brother Abel, and they saw real death in the family. And so though we see because of sin, death came into this world. Genesis chapter 5, when you read from verse 21 to 24, we read about the one man named Enoch did not see the death.
And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Now here we see Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now from this, some people who never read the Bible, when they read this, they will not understand what happened to Enoch. Let's read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5.
By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God.
Now here we see, Enoch was the first man, was translated means he has to have a new body to go to heaven. So some kind of heavenly body he got temporarily, and he was translated to heaven. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now when people read this, even though so many scholars made the theory on this, they thinking when Enoch was translated, took to heaven, so he should not see death, that means they thought Enoch will never die. And then they made the theory, Enoch is the type of the church, how God going to translate the church and take it to heaven, so that Enoch is the type of the church, so Enoch will never die. But that's not the meaning comes here. It did not say Enoch should not die or see death forever. He says at that particular time God took him to heaven and God did not want him to die that particular time. But if you read Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, God has appointed every man to die.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment.
See here he says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. What do you mean after this? After the death, the man will be judged in the last judgment day. Means that man will be resurrected. I'm talking about sinful man. All the sinners, they have to die. Now, when Adam committed sin, death came into this world. So Adam died, his sons died, but the Enoch did not die because God protected him for the time of tribulation. Because in book of Revelation we see there are two witnesses are going to come and witness on this earth, because the church will be gone, there won't be any preachers, and so the angel will be coming and proclaiming the word of God. But many people are saying 144,000 Jews which are sealed in the book of Revelation chapter 7, those people will be evangelists. But there is no proof, because those people who are chosen, they were chosen from the 12 tribes of Israel, and there was no mention that they were prophet, or they were the Bible scholars, or they were the teachers. They were chosen to keep the Jewish nation, because in the time of tribulation, most of the people are going to die. The first man didn't see the death is the Enoch. And there is another man didn't see the death is Elijah. The Elijah didn't see the death and Enoch didn't see the death. But according to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. That means every person who is born into this world before Jesus Christ came, those people, they have to die at least once. But when Jesus Christ came, he took the death penalty, so the believers do not have to die. But we are going to learn that as we go. So the Romans chapter 5 verse 14, if you read, He said death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
Now here he says the death reigned from Adam to Moses. That means Adam committed sin, and each and every person has the death penalty because of sin. But when the Moses came, God gave Moses a law that if any person commits sin, they have to bring a sacrifices. And when they get sacrificed, then their sins were forgiven. The death was reigning until then. Okay, let's read the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21.
For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
See, here it says, one man brought the death into this world, that is Adam. But another man took the death upon him, that is Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and he was resurrected, came out of the grave, so he destroyed the powers of death. If you read in the book of Psalms, chapter 32, verse 1 and 2.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Now here is the blessing. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Now in the Mosaic law and the commandment God gave it to Moses that if somebody commits sin, they should bring the sacrifice. When God sees the sacrifice, God is pleased and their sins are forgiven and covered. Verse 2.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Now this is a different kind of man. He says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That means, he says there is another group of people. God says, I'm not putting any sin on you. I'm not counting your sin. You don't have any sin in you. And in your spirit also there is no guile. There was not such a man ever born into this world. But what happened because of Jesus Christ, when person believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he forgives our sins. And he washes our sins away. Book of Hebrews chapter 9 and read from verse 12 to 14.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
See the difference? The bulls and goats' blood was purifying the man outwardly, outside flesh, but the blood of Jesus Christ, pure blood, which blood is pure and holy, that blood has power to sanctify you inside out. That means that blood even purifies your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. That means the blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse your sins inside and give you new spirit, that the Spirit of God, so you can serve the living God. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot be called the children of God. And how the Spirit of God comes to us, once you receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. So when the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, we can call Abba, Abba, Father, and then we cannot commit sin. The Word of God says, if we are born again, children of God, we cannot commit sin. And some people said, everybody commits sin. How can you say we cannot commit sin? If you stay in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you stay in the Lord, you cannot commit sin. Only devil tempts you to commit sin, and that's why we committing sin. Read James chapter 1 and verse 15.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
What does it mean? The person, first of all, lust to commit sin, have a desire to commit sin. The thought comes in the mind, and then the person act upon, and then he brings the sin. And so, and the sin brings death. So he says, the man, when he start committing sin, the sins brings death. And then some people say, I don't know, is there any person cannot commit sin? Yes, Jesus never committed sin. And then if you abide in Christ, he gives you grace to live clean and holy life. Without Christ, you cannot live perfect life. What is sin? The Word of God says all unrighteousness is sin. Everything a mankind does against the will of God is sin. And there is another scripture in James chapter 4 verse 17. It says if man knows how to do good and if he doesn't do it, it's sin. Please read. James 4, 17.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
So if somebody says, what is sin? He says, if you know how to do good, and if you don't do it, it's sin. Doing good is the will of God. But the people cannot do anything good without God. That's why God sent his Son, and he obeyed his father, and then he died as an obedient son. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God gives us the spirit of his son. He says in Galatians that he gives his son's spirit so we could call Abba Father. That means if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, didn't commit sin, so the same way when we have the same spirit of Christ in us, we will not commit sin. So the Word of God says God wanted us to do his will, and that was his desire before the foundation of the world. But that desire fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and when we are in Christ, we cannot do bad things or sinful activities, but we will be pleasing God. And the Word of God says, how can we know the will of God and how can we please God? Book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, he says, once the flesh, the body is dedicated to God or sacrificed on the altar of God, then we will know how to serve God.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Now see what he's saying here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice means you living for God. Once you are born again, child of God, you are spiritually alive. That person's service, God appreciates. If the sinful man starts to worshiping God without repentance, the Word of God says, your prayers are abomination in the sight of God. God does not listen to the prayers of sinners. Only prayers he listens when somebody says, Father, forgive my sins. But people are saying, I pray to God and God doesn't listen to me. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, he says, my hand is not short, my ear is not deaf, but because of sin, there is a partition, a wall between you and me. And so the word of God is saying, if you want God to hear you, you have to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It didn't say dead sacrifice. Living sacrifice means you are born again, child of God, and then you can serve the living God. What you're going to say, Lord, here I am. I'm giving my body to you as a vessel of God. Use it for the glory of God. And then he said, that is acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God cannot use sinners to serve God. God uses servants of God, the children of God, can be messengers, can be preachers, teachers, pastors, evangelists. All of those people are born again children of God, and God takes their service. And God is pleased with their service because they are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Some of them are filled with the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit sanctifies you. And that kind of vessel, you can use it for the glory of God, and that is your reasonable service. And verse 2 said, you have to renew your mind.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
And what is it? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how can we renew our mind? Our mind is a battlefield. Our mind, the devil uses your mind, and then you think about sinful things, lust about sinful things, and then sin enters in your life, and then you commit sin, and the death comes. Because of sin brings death. So he said, once you are born again, child of God, you have already mind of Christ. But that mind keep on renewing. Means your mind should not become dull of hearing or dull of things or not thinking about God and make your mind rusty. So your mind has to be renewed that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Only God will speak to the man, his mind is tuned to God. Even though there are some people said, I'm a child of God, but if you are a child of God, you were born again child of God, but now you are not doing the things which you used to do before, God cannot use you. Not only that, God cannot tell you what is his will for you. And there are so many people say, I don't know what to do, what God wants from me. Once you give your life to God and give your body as a living sacrifice, and then you say, Lord, I want to renew my mind, means I want to just think about God day and night. I want to please God. In short, what he's trying to say, when you renew your mind, then you will know what is the perfect will for you. Somebody says, oh, you're doing this thing wrong and that thing wrong, and they get angry or frustrated. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, godly sorrow produces repentance.
For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death.
See, for the godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. What does it mean? He says, some person, maybe he was a Christian and backslidden, or some person just listening to the word of God, and somebody says, if you commit sin, you will die in sin, you will go to hell, God will punish you, and you will have eternity in hell. When somebody says like that, person feels bad. Am I that bad person? But he says, if this words comes from God and that sorrow comes in your heart, that is godly sorrow, that sorrow will make you to repent. But the worldly sorrow produces death. What does it mean, worldly sorrow? Because the person who is enjoying the worldly life, whatever he is doing, maybe boxing and not saved, maybe wrestling and is not saved, maybe doing racing cars and not saved, or having the bad business and not saved. And the Word of God said that the worldly sorrow brings what? Death. Person can be a worldly way died, and many people will be feeling bad about that. But once the person is died, you cannot do anything about it. The death is for eternity. Means sinful death also is eternal death. Once the person dies in sin, there is no remedy. But the person who is alive and he feels sorrow or he feels bad that he committed sin, he has chance to repent and get saved. But if somebody doesn't want to repent and get saved, one day he will die, and that death will be eternal damnation. That worldly sorrow brings death. So the God wants us to be redeemed from this penalty of death. There are so many people in this world, different denomination, different religious people, try to tell people, do something good and worship God, meditate, chant, go to their temple, do some good charity and everything. But they never tell them how to change your heart or how to get your sin forgiven. There is no way there. Jesus Christ is the only one said, O heavy laden, come unto me. That's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, O heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ is the only one came from heaven seeking mankind, the man who was lost in sin, and he said, I am the way to heaven, I am the truth, and I am the life. Without me, no man can go to heaven. And people are making fun of that. They say, oh, only Christian religion has the way to heaven. And when you say yes, they said, no, there are other religions. They have their ways to go to heaven. But there is no way in other religion will tell you what you should do to go to heaven or how should you get forgiveness from your sin. They will say, do good deeds. But there is not a single person can do good. Whatever we do, it looks good in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God is filthy rag. In the Word of God says, all righteousness of man is filthy rag in the sight of God. Somebody says, how come? Because the evil person, whatever he does good, God is not looking what he did good. God looks at his heart. You remember that Abel bought the blood sacrifice. Cain bought some sacrifice. The Word of God says, it is written in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, when God saw Abel, he recognized his heart, and he says, God respected Abel and then his sacrifice. But he says, God did not respect Cain. Why? Because Cain's heart was bitter against God, and Cain did not want to do the will of God. He wanted to do his own selfish righteousness. So that's why the Word of God says, the righteousness of man is a filthy rag. God wants your heart, not your sacrifice. That's why the Word of God says, obedient is better than sacrifice. People are bringing sacrifice, but their heart is away from God. So when somebody doing some good deeds, dipping in Ganges River or doing some kind of charity or traveling from one place to another place to bring some kind of salvation, it doesn't work because there is no repentance, there is no change of heart, and there is no forgiveness of sins, and no man has power to forgive sins because Jesus Christ, our God, only has power to forgive our sins. So Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and redeemed mankind from sinful activity, and he gave his own life and he destroyed the works of the devil. The Word of God says, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil, we know all sinful activities, those are the works of the devil, and the sin brings death.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
So, Son of Man, who is Son of Man? Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. The devil is a liar, he is a deceiver, and he brings death into this world. And he wants to destroy the mankind. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So the abundant life, eternal life, comes from God, comes through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's read verse 55 and 56.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
See, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is a law or commandment. When God says, don't do this and you do that, that means you're breaking the law, and breaking the law is sin. So when man goes against God, the punishment is death. When God told Adam, the day you will eat this fruit, you surely die, that means he disobeyed God and death came. Disobedient to God is sin, and when we commit sin, the death come.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the victory over death came through Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14.
Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, the devil.
See, the mankind committed sin, and so the mankind was going to die. So Jesus Christ took the form of the mankind and came into this world. He says, through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So Jesus Christ took the death penalty upon him and redeemed the mankind from the power of death. We read, where is the power of death? Is sin. When the sin is taken it away, then there is no death. So the Jesus Christ destroyed the sin, destroy the death penalty, and destroy the power of death. And here he says, that is the devil. Who is the devil? The who brings the death, who has the power of death, that's the devil. So once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the devil is out of our life, and now we are filled with the presence of God or the Spirit of God. We are children of God. So the death is not ruling over us. Once we are belong to Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
See, he says, but we see Jesus, who was made little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That means Jesus Christ was made like a man. He says lower than angel. When the angels were made, they had the glory, outward glory. But when the man was made from the dust, so the mankind was made lower than angel. So when Jesus Christ took the form of man, he was made lower than angel. But when he destroyed the death, because the death penalty was over the mankind, that's why he has to take the form of man and destroy the death. That's why Jesus Christ, he says, he tastes the death for every man. That means now we do not have to die because Jesus Christ died for us. Book of St. John, chapter 11, verse 50.
Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not.
Now, this is one of the high priests was talking about Jesus. He said that one man should die, so the whole nation will not perish. So what he was saying, he was prophesying, if Jesus dies for the mankind will not go to hell. And that's what Jesus Christ did. So they said now, when the high priest says, one person dies and whole nation will be saved, said, okay, according to the law, this man, Jesus, should die. Now, they didn't understand what they were saying, but just like they were saying something, that Jesus Christ dies, then the man can be redeemed from the death. So let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 6.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
So now even the high priest said, and other people said, this man has to die. The word of God says, for when we were yet without strength, in the due time Christ died for ungodly people. So Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Even though those people crucified him on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we should be grateful to God that when we were yet sinner, we didn't have any strength to redeem ourselves. Not a single man has power to redeem himself from the sinful activity. Every person, when he's living in sin, he's cut off from God and he doesn't know how to connect with God. Jesus Christ is the only one bridge between man and God, or the way between man and God to reach God. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is a verse in Proverbs, it says, there is a road looks very good to man, but the end of it is death, like a death zone. So people thinking, oh, we are not going to die, we are not going to go to hell, this is okay. But one day they are going to find out that road took them to hell. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
See? But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The whole world should know. The word of God says, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the God's love towards mankind. When the mankind is sinner, they cannot save themselves. God sent his son to die for the mankind. Book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The sin kills you and takes you to hell, but God sent his son. If someone believes God's gift, Jesus Christ, that person will have eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
See, this is a very good scripture to tell heathens or other religious people. He says, for Christ, with Jesus Christ, also hath once suffered for sinners, or once suffered for sins. That means man committed sin, and man's sins was laid on him. When we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the last verse, we'll come back to this. Read that verse and come back. 21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
For he, who he, God, hath made him, who him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Who is that who? Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Go back to the Peter, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Now we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, he did not commit sin, but he suffered for sins, because God put your sin and my sin on him. The just for the unjust. He was just, he died for unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That means Jesus Christ died when he took your sin on the cross, but he came out of the grave because God quickened him in the Spirit. And when he came out, he was like a spirit man. Now he could go through the doors and windows be closed, and he could go through the wall. He could travel in the split second from earth to heaven, because now he's a spirit being. That experience, the first Adam didn't have. This is Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. When he comes out of the grave, he is a new creation. Now what happened when you read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, this same kind of experience God gives to us in Christ Jesus. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. What does it mean? He says, if you are in Christ Jesus, man or woman, we are new creation. That means that creation was not exist. Adam was not created like this. The new Adam is from heaven, a heavenly, a spirit being. So now when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the new life, like a life of Christ, and we live new born life, which was not existed. So what happens? Your old habit, your old sins are gone, and you became new. And he says, behold, all things became new. It means our life is completely transform. Romans chapter 5 verse 21.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
As the sin hath reigned unto death, even so My grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So that means sin brings death. Jesus brings righteousness and eternal life. Without Jesus, there is no righteousness. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life. Romans 6:9, please.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
See, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Means over Jesus. Jesus died once, and no one had power to kill him again. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus says, I was dead, but now I am alive. Please read.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
So Jesus Christ is saying, I was dead, now I am alive forevermore, and death has no power over Jesus Christ. The same power and same grace Jesus Christ gives to us. That's why he says in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Okay, what we are going to do, the time is almost gone. We are going to stop here, and God willing, we will continue this subject for next time. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to learn about how the death came into this world and who has power over the death and who can give us victory. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, who died for us, who rose again, who is a living God, and who has given us eternal life. Give us grace to live for you and tell others about Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving all our sins and giving us grace to follow you. Please forgive all our sins, wash us with your precious blood, and give us victory over sin and over death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.